got no home or no place to roam. Ain't got no home or no place to roam.
It's perfectly simple. Just take the knob and turn it clockwise. What are we supposed to do? Spend the rest of our lives in a house without windows? Now here is the living room.
And here is the bedroom. By golly, we got it all put together for you on a wonderful Saturday afternoon. Welcome to the Reach Radio Show. This is the place for the latest real estate news, money-saving tips, home buying facts, along with community reports and event information. Our mission at Reach is placing families in a home, not just a house. Well, that died pretty quick, didn't it? All right. She's gone. I'm Alan Mason, your host and housing heffy, along with Steve Cody and our ever-popular show producer, Rick Snyder. Reach counselors say there's no better time to become a homeowner than right now. To get started, call the good folks at Reach and let them know you're ready to become a homeowner. They have the latest information about how you may benefit from their newly acquired inventory of South Florida properties. I guess you're wondering what the phone number for Reach would be. I'll tell you. It is 855-48-REACH. 855-487-3224 gets the job done. Or you may check out our website at www.reachforhousing.org. That's Reach, the number 4, housing.org. Coming up on today's show, it's the Armenian Church. Just last Thursday conferred sainthood on some 1.5 million Armenians massacred by the Ottoman forces from 1915 to 1917. Today marks the 100th anniversary of that terrible event, and Mary Takian joins us with her personal story about the Armenian Holocaust. Then Steve Cody checks in at the bottom of the hour with the latest real estate news and industry information. After that, it is Fair Housing Month, April it is, and we have a list of things you should know about housing discrimination. It's always best to know your rights. And of course, Reach's Spotlight Home of the Week. We'll show you how the good folks at Reach can make this house your home, especially if you like single-family living in Port St. Lucie. Stay tuned for that one. Then our house segment presents our resident pest control freak, Carlton Thompson. He says your lawn might need some spring cleaning. You're about 35 minutes away from our house. And in our final segment, Rick Snyder, our show producer, has uncovered yet another scam that pumps up your credit card. Stay with us and we'll hammer the scammer together. But right now, it's time for South Florida's latest real estate headlines, brought to you by ReachForHousing.org, your HUD-approved housing agency. Allow me to introduce to you Reach Radio's consistently random voice of wisdom and full-time news orator, Steve Cody.
Thank you, sir. Well, as you heard, this is Fair Housing Month, and the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development has launched a national media campaign to help the public to recognize housing discrimination and to show them what to do if their housing rights are violated. Much more about Fair Housing Month during this show, so by all means, stay tuned.
Yeah.
Some housing advocacy groups are calling on government regulators to investigate pro-foreclosure campaigns. That's right, pro-foreclosure campaigns. They say they're being manipulated by Wall Street giants. We'll have the full story for you. Average long-term mortgage rates are down slightly this week and remain near historic lows. Mortgage giant Freddie Mac says the national average for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage slipped to 3.65%. And in an ongoing effort to end veteran homelessness, the Department of Housing and Urban Development and the Veterans Affairs Department announced nearly $65 million to help more than 9,300 homeless veterans to find a permanent place to call home. Consumer Finance Protection Bureau and the Federal Trade Commission announced on Tuesday that they're taking action against Green Tree Servicing for, quote, mistreating borrowers who are trying to save their homes from foreclosure. And RealtyTrack says a U.S. equity and underwater report for the first quarter of 2015 finds that Florida continues to see more homeowners emerging from underwater status. That, of course, is not actually being in the ocean or in the pool. That is owing more on your house than it's actually worth. Fewer and fewer people are like that. And finally, our what the heck story of the day. A Florida man, of course, learned it's not a good idea to kiss a water moccasin on the mouth. That story and more ahead on this very newscast, bottom of the hour.
Well, when we return, Mary Trakian joins us on the phone with an update from the centennial anniversary of the Armenian Holocaust. So stay with us. We're spinning up the hard drive of brotherly love, and we don't want you to miss this Pass and Stow bell ringer. Bing!
Ain't got no home. I know ladies wrong. Ain't got no home. I know face wrong. I'm a lonely boy.
Concerned about your future? Don't know how to make it right? How will you get your credit back? Where will your family live? The financial crisis has become very personal. Sleepless nights, not sure how you can hang on. Reach out and let Reach work with you toward financial and housing stability again. The good folks at Reach are waiting for your call. They're a 501c3 HUD-approved organization with a heart. Contact a Reach certified counselor today at 855-48-REACH or email housing@reachforhousing.org. That's Reach, the number 4, housing.org. Check out their webpage and success stories at reachforhousing.org. Call 855-48-REACH. That's 855-487-3224. Email housing@reachforhousing.org. Most of the services are free, so reach out. They'll reach back. 855-487-3224.
Ain't got no home. I know place is wrong. Ain't got no home. I know place is wrong.
Welcome back to Reach Radio. I'm still Alan Mason, your host, and Housing Heffy, letting you in on a special Reach Radio offer. If you're tired of paying rent or you just want to lower your monthly payments, then you should know about Reach's first-time homebuyer workshops. The next workshop is Sunday, May 17th from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Reach's offices located in Palm Beach Gardens. If you can't make that one, not to worry. The next Palm Beach Gardens workshop is June 14th. Folks, these classes fill up fast, and we really recommend that you call and pre-register. Get your name on the list. The next Miami Kindle class is May 3rd, and their registration starts at 12:30. The class starts at 1. Now, there is a $49 fee for this HUD-approved workshop, but it includes food and beverages. If you didn't pre-register, don't sweat it. You can pay at the door. For directions and additional information to Reach's first-time homebuyer workshops, call Reach at 855-48-REACH, 855-487-3224. 3224 gets the job done. And this is the first time homebuyers workshop is mandatory if you want to qualify for government assistance. And we always say a first time homebuyer is someone who hasn't owned a home in the last 3 consecutive years. So just about anybody qualifies. So folks, give Reach a call, 855-48-REACH, 855-487-3224.
This is Reach Radio in South Florida on 1230 WBZT and everywhere in America on iHeartRadio.
Oh, yeah. Well, joining us on the phone right now is Mary Trakian. She is a bar-certified attorney of law in Georgia and Florida. After graduating from Florida International University in Miami and the University of Tennessee in Chattanooga, Mary Trakian, welcome to the Reach Radio show. Hey, you're there.
I am excited to be here.
So you're down from Atlanta today, right?
I am, and what a great day to be in Florida.
You know,
I left the rain, and I'm in the sunshine.
Wonderful. You know, I had to listen to last year's interview. You were with us last year when we were talking about the 99th anniversary, and you said that you were really thinking about coming back to South Florida because you didn't like the cold weather up there.
I think about it every year, I have to say. So maybe next year I'll say the same thing, but one of these years I'll be down here, that's for sure.
There you go. Well, we want to thank you for honoring the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Holocaust. And before we get started, would you mind telling our audience your personal connection with the Armenian genocide?
Certainly. My father is Armenian, and he actually grew up in Aleppo, Syria, which right now is a very tragic place. But my heart is there as well, and a lot of other Armenians' hearts go out to all the Syrians because they accepted the survivors, the victims of the Armenian genocide. So my father's father was left by his parents in an orphanage, and they told him before they left, we'll come back, we'll see you again, and they just were never able to see him again. So he was rescued by a German family. They were missionaries, and they raised him. And he grew up knowing he was Armenian, but he could not speak about that to anyone. Mm-hmm. Now, my grandmother's family, they were all killed. She and a sister went on the march from Armenia to Syria, to Aleppo. And it's very long. It's through desert. They had no food, no water.
That was the desert. That was the desert walk, right?
It was, yes. It goes through Iraq.
Right.
And all the way into Syria. And it was supposed to be deportation, but everyone knew that it was a death march. Mm-hmm. So not only were the people there just killed at whim, but there was a complete lack of resources. So right. Without food or water, there was no way for these families to survive. So she slowly saw all of her family members, except for one sister, die. So by the time she made the march, she was practically alone.
You know, it's amazing that that April 24th, 1915 was that date. Today's the 24th of April. Hard to believe it was 100 years ago. That's a couple of generations gone by. And yet today, Turkey denies the word genocide as an accurate description of the events.
It's ridiculous.
Right. Any changes forthcoming, or they're standing hard?
Well, honestly, not from Turkey, and sadly not from the United States, who also will not use the word genocide.
Right.
We've had other presidents. Ronald Reagan, once he was out of office, said genocide. President Obama actually uses our Armenian term for it, mezbayer. So he will not use an English term, thinking that it's something that would be problematic with Turkey as an ally.
Right.
But we have had other countries, whether it's the Pope, who speaks for Vatican City and for Catholics worldwide, whether it's Germany, whether it's Austria, there are countries every year that just look at the facts and say, we can't deny history. It's just wrong morally to deny facts. So we're hopeful at some point, with international pressure, that Turkey will accept responsibility, but at this point, the United States and some other large countries are placing no pressure, so we don't expect any changes soon, unfortunately.
It's an eventuality type of thing, I would imagine. Who do you think's fallen first, Turkey or the U.S.? I'm putting my money on the U.S. We'll probably admit that we get the right president there, but I don't know about Turkey. That's going to be a hard jump for them. So to date, how many countries recognize the event as a genocide? Do we have that number?
Worldwide, there are 26 countries, okay. And they are, you know, large countries. Like I say, Germany, the European Union, France has a bill saying that it's a crime to deny the Armenian genocide.
Right. The UN wasn't chartered until October of 1945. That's more than 30 years after the start of the genocide. Who are the allies in this? What country's helping you the most?
I would say France, honestly. And part of that is that France has a mandate over Lebanon and Syria. It's had for years and years. So what happened is France became intimately involved with the Armenian cause because it had to give approval for the Armenian refugees to enter Syria. At that time, it was the Greater Syrian Republic. So France has been an ally for a long time to Armenians. What's interesting to us now is that all this happened, as we know, during World War I, and now Germany, who was there at the time, there were German forces who were in the Ottoman Empire building railroads, sending supplies for the war, German officers saw what was happening. So for Germany now to take this step, which they did about 2 weeks ago, to say, we call this genocide and we accept that we have some responsibility, that I think is very important. They had eyes to the ground. Mm-hmm. And we would like to think that the United States and other countries will take that seriously.
In 1915, what role did America play in that? We just stood by and watched, or were we involved?
There were some individuals who tried, some American individuals. Mm-hmm. Henry Morgenthau was the U.S. ambassador to the Ottoman Empire. At this time, it was World War I, and we had no sway over the...
Yep, that was the war to end all wars, wasn't it? That didn't work out too
Words.
Well.
Right. But Henry Morgenthau would write letters. There are countless letters that are part of the Department of Justice archives. You can see them today.
Right. Well, you know, one thing that we haven't talked about, there's always a reason for these kind of things. And it makes you wonder. You know, you think about Hitler, you think about all the terrible people in the world that do things, and you wonder why. What's behind it? What drove the Ottoman Empire to such a desperate act back on this day a century ago?
Well,
we have a problem with the phone there. Did they just wake up one morning and hate the people, or what was it, something that happened? What happened? No.
A number of factors. Even Armenians believe, you know, people are basically good until they're driven by a cause. What happened in this instance is the Ottoman Empire was afraid that the Armenians, as Christians, were going to fight against them. And what's most telling about that is that the Turkish officers who were slaughtering Armenians would say, if you renounce your faith and if you decide to be Muslim and you integrate, we'll let you live. So it was about religion, similar to what's happening today. I mean, that's our problem. We think that if you deny the Armenian genocide and what happened, then it's more easily repeated. It was also about land, certainly.
Yeah.
The Ottoman Empire and Turkey today hold about 40% of land that was Armenian. And that's very hard for us. My ancestors' land is in a place where, as an Armenian, we aren't allowed to visit. Turkey prohibits visitors of Armenian descent from visiting places like Marash, where my family is from. And then political. Turkey was afraid that due to the backlash against Christians, that the Armenians would side with another force in World War I against the Young Turks, which was the new government put in place by the Ottoman Empire. So those three factors worked together. The Armenians had lived side by side in the Ottoman Empire for a long time, and unfortunately, they were turned upon, and as a powerless minority force, it ended in slaughter.
Right. So what you're trying to say is actually nothing has changed. It's the same as it is today as it was back then. History repeats itself, as we say. Mary, we have to take a quick break. Would you mind hanging on for the break? Great. All right. When we return, Mary Trakian will give us a forecast on what's to come for the Armenian community. Did you know in 1922, when the genocide was over, there was just 388,000 Armenians remaining in the Ottoman Empire?
Ain't got no home, or no place to roam. Ain't got no home, or no place to roam.
Making home affordable, MHA can help you. Do you know your options? REACH is ready to help to make your home affordable. You may be able to lower your payment. You may be unemployed and need help. You may owe more on your house than it's worth. Or your home is no longer affordable and you want a way out. Get real help today and real answers. Contact REACH, your HUD-approved housing counselor, and learn more about Making Home Affordable, MHA, and how you can be helped. Email REACH at housing@reachforhousing.org. REACH, the number 4, housing.org. Our phone number is 855-48-REACH. MHA, let's make your home affordable today. Don't miss out. Reach out. Email housing@reachforhousing.org. REACH, the number 4, housing.org. Call REACH at 855-48-REACH. 855-487-3224.
Ain't got no home, or no place to roam. Ain't got no home, or no place to roam.
Welcome back to REACH Radio. I'm Alan Mason, your host, and Housing Heffy, along with Steve Cody and Rick Snyder. We've been speaking with Mary Trakian. She's a special lobbyist for the Armenian community and graciously took her time to share her story with us today. And Mary, thank you for hanging on through the break there. All right, let's take a look at... I think we got him. All right, let's take a look at what's happening in the future for the Armenian society there. They've fought through a lot, and they've came through a lot, and still survived. Mary? I think we're on the break, and she's talking. Okay. Let's kill that. Yep, okay, we got that. She'll come back with us. Anyway, it has been 100 years since this terrible event, and it started actually today, 100 years ago. And you heard Mary say earlier that it was due to basically the same problems that we're having today. History repeats itself. Everybody knows that, and as soon as they figure that out, maybe we'll get a little better. All right, Rick's with him on the phone in there. Let's see if we can get them back in. We got him there? No, still not. Okay, well, that's good. We got it covered here. We know what we're doing. If you have any questions as far as the Armenian Holocaust is, and we call it that, we have no problems calling it at all. All right, I think we got her back on the phone now. Mary, you there?
Sure am.
Okay, there you go. We were just curious as to, I know you do a lot of lobby work. I don't know if you consider yourself a lobbyist. I said you are. But I know you work in the legal community up there to help the Armenian society in your area in Atlanta. What's on the horizon? What's new? What's coming up?
Well, we've been doing a lot of good things in Georgia recently. We just had Resolution 904, which was passed on March 31st, and I was able to have a hand in that, which was nice. And it was a resolution that actually stated clearly that there was a genocide of the Armenians. It made April 24th every year Memorial Day, a day of remembrance for the Armenian genocide. That means anyone who wants to commemorate the day can do it more easily because they get to be off of work, they get to leave school. It was just a practical step that helps us.
Okay.
Next on the horizon is education. As always, it's rare to run into someone who has heard about the Armenian genocide, so we always want to educate.
That was, you know, the Armenian church just last Thursday passed a proclamation recognizing the event for over, 1.5 million Armenians were killed in that devastating event.
Yes, I actually watched live. We have the Holy Eschymesion, which is similar to Rome. It's the seat of our church, which is an ancient church which was started back in 301, the Armenian Apostolic Church. And what they did was they have priests in their system. So all the people who died during the genocide were canonized. So now we pray to the priests, including relatives, for intercession. And the reason for that is not just because they died, but because they made a choice. They could have lived, they could have converted and become Muslim and carried on with their lives. But the people who died did not.
Right.
So I think it's wonderful what the church did.
Absolutely. And, you know, as we reflect, we were talking in the break here, it's so hard to believe that they would lead the people out into the desert when they couldn't walk anymore and they dropped from exhaustion. They shot them.
Or worse.
Yes. Well, we don't want to get too graphic here. But listen, we certainly, again, appreciate you taking your time to call us and enlighten us and bring us up to date with what's going on in the community. And you better be back next year, right?
Oh, I'm ready, willing, and able, and I appreciate so much this chance to speak to people about something dear to my heart.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
You bet. All right, we're about to launch the second half of the Reach Radio Show directly after the news. It's National Fair Housing Month, and we have the rundown on all the facts. Like in 2010, HUD received more than 10,000 housing discrimination complaints. We'll tell you why in just a few moments. Coming up after that, Reach Radio Spotlight Home of the Week. This home is located in Port St. Lucie, and it's ready for your approval. Then our house segment has a better way to do spring cleaning on the lawn. Carlton Thompson says, give me liberty or give me a manicured lawn. You'll find out how in our house. And then Reach's Hammer the Scammer segment will show you how to avoid being scammed by the simplest scam ever. Pay tuned for that snap, crackle, and crunch. But right now, live from the Electronic Palace, ready to modulate the antenna with a 9-volt battery and a plastic zip tie, it's Reach Radio's real estate news at the bottom of the hour with our effervescent news guy, Steve Cody.
Why, thank you, sir. Finding housing that's decent and affordable is a challenge for almost everybody. Now imagine how much more difficult that quest would be when you have a disability and your options are further limited by architectural barriers and discriminatory attitudes of landlords and housing providers. Well, the Civil Rights Act of 1968 prohibited racial discrimination in the sale and rental of housing, and 20 years later, Congress amended that law to ban housing discrimination against people with disabilities. The Fair Housing Amendment Act says that people with disabilities who are otherwise qualified to rent or buy housing cannot be denied the opportunity based on their disability. The law also requires landlords to allow disabled people to make reasonable accommodations to housing, like installing a ramp. April, of course, is Fair Housing Month, and The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, also known as HUD, has launched a nationwide median campaign to help the public to recognize housing discrimination and to show them what to do if their housing rights are violated. We'll have much more on this during today's show. Some housing advocacy groups are calling on government regulators to investigate pro-foreclosure campaigns. That's right, pro-foreclosure campaigns. They claim that several Wall Street giants have launched these campaigns, and in a letter to a number of government agencies, they say that they're concerned about media reports that claim U.S. hedge funds, mortgage bond traders, and insurance companies appear to be pushing foreclosure services instead of offering to help borrowers with loan modifications or principal reductions. These are many of the same Wall Street investors that contributed to the mortgage crisis and have continued their unscrupulous practices, according to the letter sent by the group. Continuing on, once again, they're putting their own economic self-interest above our communities and sustainable growth of our nation's economy. The housing advocacy group consists of agencies that work alongside mortgage companies and community leaders, agencies like Home Free USA, the National Community Reinvestment Coalition, and the National Community Stabilization Trust. The group urges government regulators to investigate and to prevent private interests from promoting policies that lead to unnecessary foreclosures. The letter goes on to say, we ask you to encourage mortgage transfers to servicers who offer principal reduction as a solution to helping struggling homeowners instead of other services who are more likely to pursue foreclosures. Average long-term mortgage rates are down slightly this week and remain near historic lows. Freddie Mac says the national average for a 30-year fixed rate this week slipped to 3.65%. In the ongoing effort to end veteran homelessness, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development and the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs announced nearly $65 million to help more than 9,300 homeless veterans find a permanent place to call home. Florida has 26 local housing programs. They'll share about $4 million. The rental assistance is provided through HUD's Veterans Affairs Support Housing, which combines rental assistance from HUD with case management and clinical services provided by the VA. If you'd like to know more about this, you can talk to your local VA, or you could always call REACH. Constance Canary has been charged with one count of conspiracy to commit mail fraud and one count of mail fraud. Federal investigators say that from March of 2012 to April of 2013, Canary operated a fake loan modification operation that she called Making Home Affordable USA. It was out of her home. The business also went by the names Federal Home Saving Solutions, National Mortgage Relief Center, and some other ones. They were basically home saver programs. Homeowners were told they had to pay a flat fee of between $4.95 and $7.95. That's hundreds of dollars, not $4.95. And money collected through the scheme was deposited in a Bank of America account. Cash was then withdrawn from the account by Ms. Canary, according to the FBI. And we would like to caution you once again, this is something you should never, ever, ever pay for. It is available free from many, many HUD-certified counseling agencies.
She's singing like a canary now, right?
She is in a cage.
Uh-huh.
And finally, one Florida man learned the hard way that water moccasins do not make the best kissing partners. This is true. I saw the actual photos of this guy. His name is Austin Hatfield. He lives in Hillsborough County, and he was hospitalized last Saturday after being bitten by a cottonmouth while attempting to kiss it. Friends say that Hatfield had captured the snake from his girlfriend's yard several days before and was keeping it in a pillowcase. Hatfield occasionally took the snake out to kiss it on the mouth, but then Saturday, the snake decided to end their somewhat tenuous relationship. Hatfield is in the hospital. The snake, captured by wildlife agents, unfortunately, is in the ground.
Oh.
So, according to the FWC, that's the Wildlife Commission, Gary Morse there said that Hatfield could face charges for illegally capturing and keeping a cottonmouth without a permit. And I would say he should also be charged with being terminally stupid.
Oh, absolutely. Was the snake a McCoy? So that's the Hatfields and the McCoys.
McCoy, yeah.
And he didn't use tongue, right?
Poor tongue.
What are we going to do?
This is Reach Radio in South Florida on 1230 WBZT and everywhere in America on iHeartRadio.
And that's the truth. And we're sticking to it. You know, on April the 11th, 1968, President Lyndon Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act of 1968. What a coincidence. Which meant, as it was a follow-up to the Civil Rights Act of 1964. That's how we're getting into the fair housing segment. We segued right into that perfectly. The 1968 Act expanded on previous acts prohibiting discrimination concerning the sale, rental, and financing of housing based on race, religion, national origin, sex, handicap, and family status. I don't quite know what that means, but that's Title 8 of the Act is also known as the Fair Housing Act of 1968. The enhancement of the Federal Fair Housing Act on April 11th, 1968 came only after a difficult journey. From 66 to 67, Congress regularly considered the Fair Housing Bill, but failed to garner a strong enough majority for its passage. Steve, you know a little bit more about that.
Well, it was shortly after that that Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated, and that is one of the things that got Congress to finally get moving. It was a national tragedy, and since the 1966 open house marches on Chicago, Dr. King's name had been closely associated with fair housing. The president then viewed the act as a fitting memorial to Dr. King and wished to have the act passed prior to his funeral in Atlanta. So that's one of the things that finally got Congress moving on this, and they did get the bill signed.
Now, another significant issue during this time period was the growing casualty list from Vietnam. The deaths in Vietnam fell heaviest upon the young and poor African-American and Hispanic infantrymen. However, on the home front, these men's families couldn't purchase a home. They couldn't get a home because of the developments on account of their race and national origin. Specialized organizations like the NAACP, the GI Forum, and National Committee Against Discrimination in Housing lobbied for the Senate to pass the Fair Housing Act. And they did. And, you know, we're giving you a little history lesson here because it's important to know where all this comes from. Senators Edward Brooke and Edward Kennedy of Massachusetts argued deeply for the passage of this legislation. In particular, Brooke was the first African-American ever to be elected in the Senate by popular vote. He spoke personally of his return from World War II and his inability to provide a home of his choice for his new family because of his race.
Many recall that in those years, cities all across the country, there were major protests. Some of them actually turned violent. Mm-hmm. And then there was the fact that the returning veterans were having trouble getting homes. So that's a couple of the other things that made it possible for the President Johnson to sign this law, finally sign it into law. Mm-hmm. April 1969, HUD could not wait to celebrate the first anniversary of the act. With the inaugural year, HUD completed the Title and Field Operation Handbook, and they instituted a complaint process. And as time went on, governors began to issue proclamations that designated April as Fair Housing Month in their individual states, and schools all across the country had poster and essay contests that focused on fair housing. In fact, right in Palm Beach County, we had one, and on April the 15th, they awarded the kids for their wonderful work they did on the posters and the videos and so forth. I believe it was in Wellington.
Yep, that's right. April 15th, Tax Day. What a coincidence. With the cooperation of the National Association of Home Builders, the National Association of Realtors, and the American Advertising Council, these groups adopted fair housing as their theme and provided free billboard space throughout the nation. And the rest is, how they say, history. But there is a slight problem. With all this legislation passed and the thousands of laws enacted, we still have 10,000 fair housing complaints out in the field every year. Anybody want to know why?
Race and disability.
Oh, that's what I thought. But, you know, I thought, could it be greed? Could it be hatred? But what about ignorance? Our system allows, we say that the ignorance is no excuse for breaking the law. Okay, well, that's a pretty good concept. But I have to question a system that has more than 2.5 million laws, regulations, and statutes on the books, and we're expected to know them all? Yeah, I don't think so. No, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not suggesting that we do away with fair housing laws. What I'm saying is maybe we should design our neighborhoods in a way that doesn't give discrimination a chance to exist. All right, Steve. What's some of the things that that we need to look out for when we're like going to rent an apartment or buy a home or something like that? You know, we've had Vince Larkins on the show.
Yeah. Well, the bottom line is discrimination of any kind is illegal. Yeah. It is against the law. And if you feel like you have been discriminated when you went to rent an apartment or to get a mortgage or to buy a home, and we're not just talking about race. Yes, there is some racial discrimination, but a lot of it is people with disabilities. If there's a parking spot that's all the way across the parking lot from your apartment and there's no ramp that gets you to your apartment, yeah, that's not a hatred thing. That's the fact that the landlord is either cheap or lazy and just doesn't want to do it for that reason.
Right.
But that also falls under discrimination because reasonable accommodations have to be made for disabled people. And you mentioned Vince Larkin. In Palm Beach County, in all of South Florida, or is it just the county? No, just Palm Beach County. Vince is the guy to call.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
But there's also a nationwide hotline. If you just type into Google fair housing, there are offices all over the country where you can go directly to HUD if you want to. And Julian Castro is the secretary of HUD.
Right.
He takes this very, very seriously. There's help available to you. Don't confront anybody.
Oh, yeah.
This just makes it worse. But if you feel you've been discriminated, call an expert, ask for help.
Let me give you the phone number for Vince Larkin, okay? Vince Larkin's phone number, 561-533-8717. 561-533-8717. That'll get you to Vince Larkin's. He has been a guest on the show many, many times and has commented about some of the different properties in Palm Beach that have been caught discriminating. And, you know, he really shares that information with us kind of off the cuff because he really can't talk about cases that they're in litigation. And he comes on the show and fills us in. He conveniently leaves out certain names, which is good.
And he knows his stuff. His mom was a civil rights hero.
That's right. That's right. Back in 1957, mm-hmm. I believe, in Tallahassee, with the we had our own bus incident up there. And Vince talks about it on the show many, many times. I'll give you another phone number here just to help out because we do have Amanda Kleinrock on the show all the time, and she's with the Legal Aid Society. They do similar work to what Vince does. Their number, 561-655-8944. Now, we couldn't have Vince or Amanda on the show today because guess what? They're up in Orlando attending a fair housing conference.
Uh-huh.
So
it's their month.
It's their month, and that's what they're doing. We're trying to help them out here and keep things rolling right along.
I would like to point out one thing before we leave the subject of fair housing.
As long as it's not a sharp stick in the eye, go ahead. Point it out.
You might have a tendency to assume that all of these things are because of meanness or greed or so forth. But as Alan mentioned earlier, there are many, many laws regarding housing. And if you are a landlord, a property owner who wants to do the right thing, you can make the same phone call and say, here's what I plan to do. Is this right? I want to do this right. Not all landlords are evil. In fact, very few of them are. Some of them just make mistakes or don't know the entire law or don't know what your specific needs are. So don't assume that your landlord's a bad guy. May or may not be. But if you are the landlord and you want to make sure you're following the law, there's help for you, too.
That's
by
right.
By calling our friend Vince Larson or by contacting HUD.
That's right. Or they could call REACH.
That's true,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we'll be more than happy to help you out there. You know the number for REACH, 855-48-REACH or 855-487-3224. But now it's time for this week's Spotlight Home of the Week, and that's brought to you by Pat Tracy and Associates. Her phone number is 561-351-8000. That's 561-351-8000. This property is located at 151 Southeast Castana Court in Port St. Lucie, Florida, zip code 34983. I'll tell you why that's important in a moment. This single family home is located in Port St. Lucie, like I said. And to be exact, it has two bedrooms and two full baths, approximately 1,382 square feet of living area, pretty big house. And the main bedroom is 20 by 23 feet. I believe there's enough room in there for a small bowling alley, but you might want to check that out for yourself. The kitchen is 8 by 10 feet, and the living room is 16 by 12 feet. So that's a pretty darn big house, and it's located near Sportsman's Park between I-95 and the Intercoastal Waterway. And as we always say, FHA and conventional financing gets the job done, and of course, cash will get your name on the deed indeed. Now, Google Maps, if you want to take a look at this property, I gave you the address. I'll give it to you again. If you go to Google Maps and type in 151 Southeast Castana, C-A-S-T-A-N-A Court in Port St. Lucie, and Google loves the zip code 34983. And take a look at the home for yourself. You'll see the area that it's in. It's a prestigious-looking area. And, of course, this is a pretty dang big home. So that's this week's Spotlight Home of the Week, brought to you by Pat Tracy and Associates. Her phone number, again, 561-351-8000. And you know what? I dare you to call her right now, because I know what she's doing, and I believe you should call her and say, hey, I'm interested in that Spotlight Home of the Week. Help me out, okay? All right, we'd like to thank you for joining us every Saturday. Your company is appreciated. Hat tip always to the first-time homebuyers. You realized the dream in 2015. Congratulations to you. And hat tip to the Armenian community for their perseverance in the face of evil and for surviving the tyranny. We invite you to check out the show website at reachradioshow.com. Click on Show Archives, and you can hear the past shows.
Our house is a very, very, very fine house.
Okay, it's time to get into Our House. This week's segment is brought to you by reachforhousing.org, your HUD-approved housing counseling agency. Joining us on the phone right now is Carlton Thompson. He is our resident pest control freak here to tell us how to continue with spring cleaning your lawn. Carlton, how are you today?
Good afternoon, Al. I'm doing fine. How are you?
No, this is a good day, and it's a good day to get outside and clean up the lawn, right?
It absolutely is.
All right.
Any day the wife's inside is a good day to be outside.
Okay, I'm telling. It is a good day. It's nice. The weather out here is just perfect for getting that job done. But, you know, I know how spring clean my house. You screen the clean the screens and all that stuff. What do you do to your lawn?
Well, the things you want to do is go through and get any old leaves up and things like that. Palm trees that have some old fronds or possibly some freeze damage or frost damage that may have happened over the winter. Now's a safe time to get out there and start trimming that stuff back. If you remember in a previous show, I told you don't trim that stuff. We have to wait till it starts pushing out new growth. And everything's growing right now, getting ready to bloom, and some things are blooming, so now's the time to start trimming that old damage out of there and get it looking right.
Okay, you're talking about the shrubbery and things like that. How about the grass proper, the grass itself? Do I have to do anything to that, just leave it alone?
Well, if you let it get a little too tall and you started mowing it and you got some, you know, heavy thatch and clippings in there and you got a thatch layer growing in there, you may want to rake that out some. Mm-hmm. Certainly wouldn't hurt, but, you know, you have to kind of take a look at that.
Well, you know, they say things don't grow in the winter. It sort of hibernates. But in South Florida, we don't have that same kind of weather as up north. So are we growing through the winter here?
Yeah. In South Florida particularly, what happens is the grass will slow down where you would normally be getting inch and a half to 2 inch growth a week. On St. Augustine, you may only get a half an inch to an inch. Mm-hmm. It does slow down dramatically, but in South Florida, it does not stop. There's not much that does stop in South Florida.
All right. So the lawn being an important, that's the first thing people see when they come to your house. So if you're trying to sell your house or get a better appraisal of the house, you want your lawn in top-notch shape. Where do we go, Carlton, for all the lawn supplies?
Yeah, you want to go for all your lawn supplies and advice to John Deere Landscapes. That's where all the experts are that can lead you to the green lawn that you're looking for.
That's right. And you forgot the .com on there, folks. It's johndeerelandscapes.com. And take a look at the site. They really do some pretty cool stuff there. These are professionals. They're there to help you take care of your lawn. And I don't believe, Carlton, there's not a question that could be asked that would embarrass anybody, right?
No, sir.
Yep. I know. I ask some pretty stupid questions because I just don't know. And if you don't know, where do you go?
Yeah, johndeerelandscapes.com. You'll find the answers there. You don't know what you don't know.
There you go. I opened that up right for you. Now, go back inside the house and tell your wife that you love her. That's not right. You're telling if the wife's inside, you got to be outside. You better go back in and give her a kiss, all right?
Al, you know my wife. You know why I'm outside.
Come on. All right. Thanks for calling in, brother.
Have a good one.
I'll talk to you soon. All right, when we return, we will hammer the scammer. Our symbolic show producer has discovered yet another cool scam. Exposed. Just a reminder, April is Fair Housing Month, and if you know of any fraud or abuse in the housing market, call the proper authorities.
Ain't got no home, I know place wrong. Ain't got no home, I know place wrong.
Making home affordable, MHA can help you. Do you know your options? REACH is ready to help to make your home affordable. You may be able to lower your payment. You may be unemployed and need help. You may owe more on your house than it's worth, or your home is no longer affordable and you want a way out. Get real help today and real answers. Contact REACH, your HUD-approved housing counselor, and learn more about Making Home Affordable, MHA, and how you can be helped. Email REACH at housing@reachforhousing.org. REACH, the number 4, housing.org. Our phone number is 855-48-REACH. MHA. Let's make your home affordable today. Don't miss out. Reach out. Email housing@reachforhousing.org. Reach the number 4, housing.org. Call REACH at 855-48-REACH. 855-487-3224.
Ain't got no home. I know a place wrong. Ain't got no home. I know a place wrong.
Welcome back to REACH Radio. I'm Alan Mason, your host and housing heffy, here with a message for future homeowners. If you're planning to use FHA, HUD, or other government assistance programs, you must complete selected HUD-approved training workshops in order to qualify for HUD assistance and receive big discounts from the banks. Call REACH counselors today and start the home ownership journey. Their phone number, 855-48-REACH, 855-487-3224. REACH offers a comprehensive credit management workshop that helps you deal with any negative credit issues you may or may not have, helping you get back on a sound credit track. REACH also provides free, hear that word, free foreclosure and modification counseling, free of charge. Now, we're not that great of people. You know, we do that because the law says we have to do that. You know, we've said it 100 times on the show. If someone wants to charge you for foreclosure or modification, loan modification counseling, the red flag should go up and call the good folks at REACH, and they'll set you straight. Our trained counselors will deal with any mortgage and finance companies that you work with, because we work with them every single day. We know what they want before they ask for it, because of our relationship with them. Call the good folks at REACH, 855-48-REACH, 855-487-3224. All classes are taught in English, Spanish, and Creole. And remember to press 0 for the operator. Don't miss out. Reach out.
This is REACH Radio in South Florida on 1230 WBZT and everywhere in America on iHeartRadio.
Okay, that brings us right up to Hammer the Scammer. Ooh. Yeah, and so we have our symbolic show producer here, Rick Snyder. Right. You have found another goodie in the ditty bag of dirty tricks.
Oh, and this is one of the worst, because everybody puts gas in their car. Everybody. Criminals are infiltrating credit card mechanisms through the front panel of gas pumps.
What?
Takes about 3 minutes to open that baby up, put in the skimmer, close it up, and get away. And you know, they can pick you up on a cell phone as you put your card into the swiper.
Okay,
in the
wait
gas
a minute.
Pump.
Let's get this straight.
Yes,
the scammers
actually
take the pump apart. They open the pump.
Easier than you think.
Really?
They know how to do it. Look, you got people that are working in the gas stations that have to do this on a regular basis. And when they find out, perhaps if they're a little bit tilted in the wrong direction, they can scam you. They can steal your credit card information immediately with a skimmer in the...
A skimmer? You mean like a Wi-Fi thing or something like that?
It's in the credit card device. When you swipe your card, it picks it up and transmits it to a Bluetooth.
And
I'm
betting they get your PIN number, too.
Everything. Mm-hmm. Everything. Anything you put in is gone in seconds. Here's how to look out for this stuff. Take a look at the gas pump's edges around the front of it. The hatch surrounding the credit card unit may be battered. like somebody tried to pry it open.
Uh-huh.
Try tugging on it a little bit. If the lock is broken, it'll open. Relay this information immediately to the people running the gas station. Before you slide that credit card into the machine, just give it a little tug. If it moves, be careful.
I have a better way. Just go inside and pay with cash.
That's one way to do it.
That'll stop those gas pump pimps. That's
skimming,
sure.
Skimming devices are meant to be placed temporarily for a matter of hours or days just to get enough numbers. If you find there's a problem with this gas pump, contact the police immediately. File a report if your credit card skimmer is found in this pump. It's happening all over the place here in South Florida. They just found 8 or 9 of them in an area.
And, you know, on the news, they're talking about, believe this or not, folks, they're saying that they want to eliminate cash. They want to go to a total card society and get rid of cash.
They better not eliminate my cash.
I'm telling you. Well,
leave
I don't
my
have
cash
any.
Alone.
I don't
you know,
have any.
Some gas stations will apply a tamper-proof seal mm-hmm. across the opening of the credit card door in the front of the pump. Check that out. Just take a glance. See if you have one there. If the pump is broken into, that sticker that's lifted up will reveal the words void on the sticker, and you'll know that someone has been inside. Only takes them 3 minutes or less to implant this device in the credit card skimmer, and you're in trouble because they'll grab your stuff right away.
That's pretty brazen, I have to tell you. For someone to take a hit like that, open up a pump, I would think if the gas, they have cameras.
You know, it's funny you mentioned cameras.
Uh-huh.
They are people. Yes, was this planned?
That's funny.
There are inconspicuous cameras, very teeny, that cardholders have to be paying attention to spot them. They're sometimes used in conjunction with credit card skimmers to capture footage of customers entering their PIN numbers.
Oh, yeah.
If you see them doing it, it's pretty easy to figure out what they are.
That happened to my wife, and I never reported it.
Really?
Because he spends a lot less than she did.
Thank you, Steve. Look, if you're looking for a camera, search for anything on the face of the gas pump that looks unique compared to other pumps. Pinhole cameras are often situated above the keyboard area.
Mm.
For extra precaution, listen to this. Use two hands when paying for gas at the pump. Use one hand for the transaction. Place the other above the credit card screen to shield the keypad from view of lurking cameras. They're grabbing your credit card information any way they can. And you know what really bothers me about this? These people are smart. They know how to rig a gas pump to steal your numbers. What a shame they're not using their intelligence and their brains on something beneficial.
Like other. What?
Thank you, Alan.
Owning a gas station.
I'm gonna keep my eye on you, pal. Watch out for Al.
Well, the scammers are there, folks, and that's why we came up with this Hammer the Scammer segment. Stay tuned from the weeks to come. We have many, many more scams.
They're scamming everybody every day.
Hammer the Skimmer scammers.
The most important thing to remember when dealing with a stranger on the phone that's asking you for information, don't do it.
Yeah.
Do not give information on the phone.
Right.
Don't do it.
Well, guess what?
What?
That's about all the time left to us today. Thank you for spending your Saturday afternoon with us. Special shout out to all the future home buyers. This is your year. Take hold of the moment. Don't miss out. Reach out. Now check out our show website at reachradioshow.com. That's where all the Reach Radio archives are stored. You may take a look at our Spotlight Home of the Week there as well. You know, it's Fair Housing Month, and next week we'll close up the month with a little more information resulting from the show up in Orlando there. We'll see you next Saturday live from 12 to 1.
Ain't got no home. I know a place to roam. Ain't got no home. I know a place to roam. I'm a lonely boy.